I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Look, we are in the middle of, some countries are just coming out of lockdown. Other ones are still in the heat of the COVID epidemic, pandemic. And for a lot of you, the speaking world has changed. I know for me, some conferences disappeared, some workshops, some trainings. They're just not happening because they're in different countries and even in different states. So for a lot of you, the landscape of what you may have been doing and may have done has completely changed. And to throw out the cliche that's been going around, it's an unprecedented time. But we have a way that you can still highlight your expertise, share them, get new clients, get new customers, and increase your exposure with our guest today. So I think all the stars have lined up at once. He said he doesn't usually give podcast interviews. I caught him at a weak spot. I caught him must have been after lunch in a carb coma, and he agreed to jump on here. And I think it's going to be super valuable to a lot of speakers right now. So with all that being said, Eric Yang, he's the founder of Lead Next Gen. He hosts, he's got an agency, but he's also world-renowned for his virtual summit. He is the expert of virtual summits. And we're going to walk through exactly what is a virtual summit, what kind of makes it up, and why you want to be a part of it. He's had over 45,000 attendees from over 40 different countries with some huge names across different areas and industries. So with all that being said, Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for having me.
So give us a little bit of a background, like what is Lead Next Gen, and how did you kind of, again, following on from that, how did you come into the world of virtual summits?
That's a good question, man. So first of all, I was born and raised in Paris, and I arrived in the US when I was like 19, and I always wanted to build a business. So I thought the best place in the world to learn about entrepreneurship was America. But I quickly realized that school did not give me the tools or the lessons that I wanted or that I needed to build my own business. So I started to go to a lot of conferences. And I was 18, 19 back then, and I went to like 60 plus conferences in about a year and a half. And I quickly realized that I was almost always the youngest person in the room. And there's nothing wrong with that per se, but when you are young, you also want to learn from other young entrepreneurs as opposed to people who are 45 or 60 years old who had built businesses maybe like 20 years ago or started 20 years ago. So because of lack of solutions, I basically created the event I wish I had when I first landed in America. And that was my first six-figure business at 20 years old by hosting in-person conferences. And I had 15 speakers on it, and I had over 100 attendees. And I quickly realized that when it comes to hosting conferences, it takes like 4 to 6 months to host one, to market one, to invite the speakers, to coordinate with the attendees and the staff. And I literally burned out for like 3 weeks after the conference ended. And I love the community part of it. I love the authority part of it. I love the influence I can get out of it, because I got an invitation to speak afterwards, host my in-person conference, but it was not scalable, right? So this is like where I stumbled upon like virtual summits back in 2016, 2017. And I hosted the online version of my young entrepreneur conference. And I literally got, I believe it was like 50 times more revenue. And I got, it was launched like 2 or 3 times faster than my in-person conference. So I knew that this was something I wanted to keep doing, because I got like 1,000 attendees online as opposed to 100 on my in-person conference. And I kept doing it over and over for myself and other clients. And I built an agency out of it.
It's such an interesting journey. I just crack up when you were talking about that, because my journey into podcasting was sitting there going, oh, I really love hanging out with other young entrepreneurs. When I was kind of starting out on my journey, I want to start off interviewing kind of under 35-year-old entrepreneurs, and had like a 200-plus episode podcast prior to pivoting into this podcast called Youngpreneurs. So, which is quite funny when the similarities are quite funny when you see that kind of gap out there. But online summits, you talk about, like, yeah, you're getting, I look at them, I love them. I've spoken at I think one or two in the past. What are the, we'll start from a host's point of view, what are some of the things that are going to be benefit? Why do you want to run the summit? Like, if you're a host of one.
That's a good question, man. And I think that even before that, I think it's valuable for the people who have maybe never heard of Virtual Summit before to explain really fast, like, what it might be. So Virtual Summit is essentially a mixture between three things. One, an in-person conference, because you're inviting speakers on a platform and you're the host, so you get like a lot of expertise and authority by having your own conference. Two, it's like a podcast, because you're the one who's hosting it. It's online, and you can basically distribute information without actually have to create the information yourself. So you're essentially a knowledge broker, right? The way that Victor is doing it right now, the way that other podcast hosts are doing really smartly around. And third, it's a webinar, because you are actually getting people's email, and you can actually upsell the content of what you create, which is the Virtual Summit recordings. And the way that Virtual Summit works is, most of the time, like 99.9% of the time, it is a free conference where you exchange an email for a free ticket. And the value added of why you make it free is because you want to build an email list, right? You want to reach the most amount of people. And if you had a pay gate, where even if you make people pay $7 or $27 for the recordings, then you might not be able to reach as much people as you could have had if it was free. So I'm a huge fan of free Virtual Summit, that I actually have a freemium aspect to it, which is you make the conference free, where you pre-record all the sessions, and you have, let's say, 15 speakers for 3 days, so 5 speakers per day, and you make each day available for 24 hours. And when the summit starts, like an in-person conference, when it starts, you are able to release interviews and people can watch as much as they want for 24 hours. But when day two comes, day one closes. And then when day three starts, day two closes, right? And the only way for people to be able to watch the recordings again is by buying something called the Access Pass, which is how you make the money from the Virtual Summit on the front end. Mm. So I think that's like a really fast breakdown of what Virtual Summit is. And what was your other question, Victor? What's the value of it?
You said a lot of it's, yeah, that positioning and growing your mailing list, or your list, your followers, positioning yourself as that authority and that expert by being the host of that event. You know, it's like I position myself as the authority in my particular space by just talking to a lot of you guys, regarding public speaking. It's a nice, effective way of positioning yourself, and then obviously connecting with some awesome people as well. Front end. So we've kind of got the front end. All right, you can make some money selling the recordings. From a speaker's point of view, why would a speaker want to come into your realm to do a virtual summit?
Great question. Thank you for reminding me of that. So as a speaker, right, something that you have to understand, for a speaker, a virtual summit has a much more higher perceived value than a podcast. One, because it is like more time constrained, where a virtual summit is only for a certain time, whereas a podcast can watch it anytime, right? So for you to be featured on a virtual summit, most of the time the people who are hosting it, they're going to run a lot of paid traffic to it. They're going to run a lot of campaign to it. So you're going to get a lot of eyeballs to it that you wouldn't have gotten on a podcast, because rarely a podcast host will run paid traffic to an episode, if not a podcast by itself.
Yep.
So you get the chance to be one of top leaders among other world leaders, to be seen both your face and the content, right? Because a virtual summit is most of the time done in MP4, which is like video recorded. So people can see your face, they can hear your energy, they can see your energy, right? So there's this potential of recognizing you more and more in the future, as opposed to a podcast, which is just most of the time just a cover of the podcast and your voice. So that, with the fact that most of the time people who watch the recordings on the virtual summit, they have quasi no distraction when they watch it. Because when they watch a video, you have to basically watch it and people take notes from it. Whereas a podcast, maybe people may be working out, I mean, you're like driving. So they're not going to take as much attention to you as it would be on a virtual summit. And finally, on virtual summit, when you're a speaker, most of the time, if you're not the biggest speaker, and I hope in this situation you are not, because you can actually leverage other people's guests to say like, hey, I spoke on a virtual stage near next to the Tony Robbins of my industry, the Gary Vee of my industry, a Lewis House of my industry. You can, somewhere that if you were to speak on stage with Tony Robbins, you can use the same thing, but here will be a virtual stage. When you say to people like, hey, I spoke on the same podcast as Tony Robbins, that doesn't sound like the same as, oh, I shared a virtual stage with Tony Robbins, right?
Yeah.
So that being able to use it as a perceived value, and you being able to share that to your friends and even put it onto your personal website or your speaker profile, that really raises your authority, because for people to choose 20 to 25 experts around the world when kind of a quasi-infinite options, that really raises your authority as a speaker.
Mm. And with that, like their unlimited options, it's like, yeah, I can run my podcast forever. So you're just, yeah, not you personally, but you're, whoever the expert is just another guest on the show. When it's correct, when it's 15 guests at a particular summit, it's like, okay, well, these have been handpicked and they're not going to have 50 guests. They're having 15 and you are one of them. And yeah, like you say, it's that, I think they're both awesome ways to position yourself, but then there's definitely that scarcity of, yeah, it's not anyone could be on this. It's, yeah, you had to have to be on it.
Correct. If,
and so we'll stay on the speaker side of things for a little bit more. I just kind of want to go back and forth. So those people looking to potentially host their own or get onto them, kind of understand what is going to be entailed, because they're, you know, like you say, the host is probably going to put some assets into, or some, you know, drive some traffic to get registrations for the event. What are the general expectations? What does it look like? Hey, I'm, yeah, me personally, I'm coming to speak at your summit on, say, public speaking. What would your expectations be of me as a speaker?
So there's two different school of thoughts, right? And this is like the way I approach my virtual summits. People have two ways of doing virtual summit. One is more like a podcast interview style, but video recorded, right? Where it is this kind of conversation where we just talk and we talk about the speaker's story. We talk about how they did certain things, and let's use like public speaking as an example, right? Like there's a public speaking virtual summit. So I interview like 20 experts and they talk about their own story and how they got into it. And then that's pretty much it. Like a podcast regular episode, right? Yeah. The way that I like to structure my virtual summit is more like a masterclass. And what do I mean by that? It's to structure every interview as if they were like interdependent of each other. Meaning that it is like, it's like as if it was a course, right? Where one session leads to the other. But here, each session is done by a different speaker. But as a host, I'm able to at least guide the conversation towards a specific topic so that the audience almost has this like elevation kind of type of content and consumer point of view. And that will make the content even more powerful for the attendees, because it is less a podcast interview, but more like a course that was crowdsourced with other different experts, right? So the expectation for me, if I were to create my own virtual summit as a masterclass, is to basically have the speaker give a lot of practical advice for the people on one specific topic, which is obviously like different speakers have different field of expertise, but I've done my homework to know what the speaker is the best at and what type of content they have delivered in the past, which allows me to then put them almost into like a box of content I want them to produce. And if they don't have a presentation, it's fine. But if they have the given keynotes, they can use that and can have like a two-way conversations. But if they don't have that ready, which is again, once again, fine, I'm going to at least guide this conversation towards where I want it to be, so that the attendees or the listeners can actually walk away with things that are practical, and so on.
And so that's the presentation side of things. If I was, say, coming onto one of your summits, is there like a hey, can you email, swipe file, here's some emails that you can send out to your list? Like, are a host generally going to leverage off their speakers as well? And here's some social media content. And
yeah, I mean, that's something I really hate, when hosts force or bother the speakers to promote. I think that speakers, first of all, like, you gave so much content already. Like, if people are mad because you're not promoting, then that's just the wrong way of doing business, in my opinion. Yep. I've been part of summits. I've been invited. I didn't want to do it, but out of favor, I just did it. And the host still, you know, bothered me a lot. Sent me like 5 to 7 emails to promote. I'm like, almost like F you, you know, like, I gave you so much content. You asked me to be on it, and you asked me to promote it to my list, even though I don't really know you. Like, what the hell, right? So if the host is asking you to promote, then like, you do your own judgment. But for my summits and for my client summit, we never ask or actually force the speakers to promote. We gave them the assets. We remind them of it. We ask them if they're interested. And they say yes, then we actually follow up. Yep. But if they said no, I'm not interested, then we're like, cool, no worries, man. We appreciate you for taking the time to do your own summit, and here's some materials in case you want to do it. But that's the end of the story.
Yep. And then, I mean, that's the second side of things. So you've positioned as, you know, that authority. You've been invited, you've been able to, you know, leverage off that side of things. We all know exposure doesn't pay the rent if you're a speaker. Are these summits, you know, are most speakers having a back end at the pitch at the end of their presentation, or are they getting a copy of the list of registrants to add to their mailing list? Or, you know, outside of that, is there any other kind of back end for the speakers, and then does that tie into like a back end for you
or the host? That's a good question, man. So this really becomes more like a one-on-one conversation with the host, because cool, content is great, but the host is already spending a lot of money to promote you for free. He's doing a lot of paid traffic to promote you, which is audiences that you wouldn't have gotten access to otherwise. But if you want to find an arrangement where if you were to promote your list, he'd be able to basically like, hey, because you promoted me and my summit to your list, I'll be open to give you like a shout out to your webinar coming out like a week or two once the leads are really, really hot, right? You have to give to receive, and that's my whole philosophy. So if you are coming in like, cool, I want to be a speaker, but I want to get paid, and like, that's not like the good mindset, because if they can pick you, they can pick anyone else. So unless you add something really strong on the table, which is like, for example, either because you're a really top leader of the industry, or because you're willing to trade in a shout out for a shout out, I think that's a good like mindset to have. The reality is a lot of people, when they invite me to speak on their virtual summit, I do it for free. But I also ask them beforehand, like, how many people are you expecting, right? If it is people like, oh, okay, 500 people, then I'll probably not do it unless they're like my dream customers.
Yeah.
I recently done a virtual summit presentation for a online summit, and I had like 1,100 people live on this Facebook Live, which was like a surprise for the people. And this allowed me to build a lot of connections. So that alone probably worth like $20,000 to $30,000 worth of leads for me. So it really depends on if, one, the summit is really, really like talking in front of your dream customers, or two, like, if it is not exactly that, like, what will be the win for you? If it's just exposure, like, you're trading half an hour of the time to be potentially like getting one client, that by itself as a trade off is worth it.
And it's funny, because it's like something that I talk about a lot is that Trojan horse. It's, you may not get paid, you know, in the live summit world, you might go, oh, okay, well, yeah, we can't afford to pay your speaking fee. And what's your Trojan horse? Can you go, oh, okay, cool, can I have a lunch with the CEO of this company then while I'm here? And then that leads into, okay, why don't you come and consult at our company and we'll pay you 10 times more than what you were planning on? Or can you run a workshop? Or, yeah, in these situations, it's okay, yep, I'm spending X amount of thousands of dollars driving traffic to this. Yeah, mm-hmm. cool. I'll give some shout outs and put some stuff in behind it. And then, you know, as hopefully once you got this warm lead, you know, if you can do some shout outs for me in return, that'd be awesome. And it's kind of that, yep. mate, creating that win-win, because like you know, I said earlier, it's like exposure doesn't pay the rent, but you've also got to understand that you're getting put in front of a lot of people. And yeah, it only takes, you know, depending on your industry, your market, your products, your services, it only takes one or a handful of those people to turn into customers, to follow up with you, to become leads and get nurtured and become into your environment for it to pay off, you know, exponentially.
Yeah. Keep in mind that as a virtual summit host, it takes between 5 to 1,000 hours to put together a virtual summit. You invest literally only half an hour, right? Or up to 1 hour or maybe 2 hours to coordinate, right? Like the trade-off is so huge for you as a speaker that unless you bring something extremely high value on the table, like just be careful what you ask. Like yeah. A small ask you can ask for is, hey, can you make me an intro to this speaker that you also had on a summit? I would love to talk to him or her, right? That's like a small win that you can get. And then you start to build that relationship and then we explore in the future, like how you can get access to his list by being part of his community and by giving a lot of your time or attention to it.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because yeah, the first one that I ever spoke on, there was kind of the bigger name speaker on it. 2 days later, we were on a call about doing some work together, because we got connected by the host, and he's 1 degree away from Tim Ferriss, which is a cool connection to have, to be able to, yeah, again, it's just plain, I'm not saying that, hey, introduce me to Tim Ferriss, but it's, you know, when you're talking about people who are that close and have had that kind of level of success, it's a nice person to be able to do some business with, and then also have to be able to further connect you. And it's like, yeah, I'm sure you follow Russell Brunson, and he's always talking about your dream 100. And, you know, Tony Robbins was like, I don't know, I think it was like 10 or 15 years on his dream 100 of him piling on, you know, I'll do this for you, I'll connect you with this, I'll do this. And he just kept showing up and offering this value. And, yeah, straight away you're getting positioned on an online summit. Yeah, I think, like, for me as a speaker, as a trainer, if someone approached me and I'd say, yep, cool, happy to jump on. And if I was the first one, I'd say, yeah, I just want to see who else you've got. If I'd asked all those other questions, you know, how many people are you expecting, etc. Or it's who else have you got? And it's like, oh, sweet, I get to be positioned next to these people. Hopefully I get to reach out. Get connected, and that's the big win, I think, because yeah, 100%. it's through there. And so from the host, so just going back to the host, kind of to round out the understanding of this, there's things we're obviously not going to dive into from the logistics and time. There's, you know, I'm sure there's lots of different software that you can do to pre-record and run it and everything like that. You said on the front end, which we touched on, what as a host or an event organizer are you looking at from the back end? Is it just the building of the list that you can then remarket to, or are you going to have other upsells at the end of it?
Yeah, I mean, as a host, right? If you, again, treat it as a masterclass, it's literally creating a course from other people. So you have a course now, like that's built by 25 other entrepreneurs or speakers, right? Yeah. If you were to upsell like this thing to another program that you already have, right? Like a Accelerator program or an agency service or a book or like a funnel, right? Like that's like those leads are so warm for you, because the people have seen you, the host, interview 25 people. Let's say against a 3-day event, right? They've seen you, if they watch like even like 20 or 30%, they've seen you like 7 hours up with your face on it. So yeah, they trust you by the end of the day. So they are much more likely to buy something from you because they have this like proximity relationship, or at least like touch, that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise from a podcast or from a webinar. Because not only do people trust you, but because they also have speakers that they trust, and through association, the authority and your influence just 10x from it.
Yeah, and that's it's a thing that I I think if you study the experts and the authorities in your industry, and then you see someone that you may not know who's then associating with that person, have a think what that does psychologically to you. If it's, you know, Russell Brunson, and then all of a sudden, one of his disciples, one of his students is suddenly doing a webinar with him or a live summit with him. All of a sudden, you're like, well, this person must be like, you know, special if they're hanging out with someone that I look up to. And that's, yep, that's what I think this allows you to position as. I think that gives people a pretty amazing insight into that. There's just one kind of, I wouldn't even say personal question, but one question in regards to, we've got this area now where people's attention spans are harder, you know, a live seminar, you know, if people have to travel and they actually get there and they've bought these tickets, they're probably a bit more vested to actually turn up. You know, the just general psychology, if you get a dollar out of your pocket, what are some of the insights on, say, like, if you had 1,000 registrants, how many people, say, would you expect to turn up to the summit to watch? And you know, as a speaker, how many people would you expect would potentially go to your talks?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Victor. So I can't say exactly because every situation is different, but a good industry standard when it comes to like purchase, right, which is the only metric that matters as a host, is a good metric is from a cold lead, about 6 to 8% people who obtain will buy, right? Okay. It doesn't mean like they're going to watch it, but they're going to buy something from you, which is even more powerful. A warm lead, which means like maybe your own email list, can go upwards of 15 to 20%, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, you can like, once they buy it once, right, they already like have been wired to buy more from you, and so on.
Yep.
So that is the value of it. And when it comes to content, right, like the biggest thing is you want to make your content really actionable, but also realize that nobody buys for content anymore, man. Like nobody needs more information. They don't need more strategies. What they need is the how, right? Yep. The what is the content, like what to do and why to do it, right? That can be found on Google, on YouTube, anywhere in the world, on podcasts for free, right? But why people buy recordings, why people buy Excel programs, it's for the how. Like how to do something, how to implement the strategies, right? If you were to host a virtual summit, and this is talking only as a host, you want to add bonuses on top of your recordings. Things that actually allows you to implement the strategy that we discussed during the interviews. For example, I actually have a virtual summit coming up from my team, and we're giving like all the things you need to do, like why you should do a virtual summit and what kind of virtual summit you should do. But the reason why you're going to buy the bonus, the recordings, because of the how. Like, cool. Do you know how to reach out to speakers? No, here's an email template. Do you know how to build a funnel? Cool, here's a website template. Do you know how to basically do the marketing? No, here's an advanced training on Facebook ads for virtual summit specifically. And this bundle of the what and the how is going to make your content so much more powerful if you are a host. And that will literally like potentially like upgrade your sales from 50 to upwards of 80%.
Yeah. And that's where the rubber meets the road, because yeah, people want that actual transformation of whatever you're offering, not just the excitement of, oh, that'd be a really good idea. So I think that's a pretty awesome segue into, if people want to find out a bit more about you, reach out, follow you, or find out more about this virtual summit of virtual summits, the meta of meta, where can they go and what can they do?
So you can check out the website virtualsummitlaunchsecrets.com. That's the virtual summit. And if you want to learn more about my agency, it's called leadnextgen.com. To be honest with you guys, like most people who hire us, like pretty like high profile entrepreneurs who pay us, where our agency service starts at $30,000 per project. So if you want to get started, I think that another way for you to understand how virtual summit works in our agency system as well, that we have optimized over the years, is to buy my book on Amazon, which is like maybe $4. And that is literally the blueprint and playbook that we use for our clients. But you can just read it and apply it, do it yourself kind of thing.
Brilliant. Well, we'll link all of that to publicspeakingblueprints.com. And appreciate your time, mate. It's been absolutely eye-opening, I'm sure, for a lot of the people listening, particularly who rely on stages in the physical form and aren't going to be able to do that for some time into the future. So, yeah, really think it's a place that, some places are going to come out a bit better after this COVID thing. And I think virtual summits is probably going to be one of them. So I appreciate you.
Sweet, man. Thanks for having me.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.